Praise the Lord, glory to God. I welcome you to our message today. And the message title today is Don't Love the World. Don't Love the World is such an important subject. Our Bible text is from 1st letter of John chapter 2, verse 5. It says, Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Why does the Bible say so? Let us first understand who the Father is. His name in Hebrew cannot be pronounced. It's YHWH. You cannot pronounce that. So it was transcribed as Yahweh. The shortened form of his name is Yeho, Yahu, Yah, and Yo. It appears in personal names and also in phrases like Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yah is there. The name was sacred, as well as a commandment against taking the name of the Lord in vain. It led to increasingly and strict prohibition on speaking or writing this name. At the time of the Second Temple, the name of God was officially pronounced only once a year by the high priest on the Day of Atonement. Yahweh is a creator and the only divinity to be worshipped. El Shaddai, the Almighty, came to be applied to Yahweh alone. People also called him Adonai, which means my Lord. You have to understand His highness, His sovereignty, and His holiness. I don't know if you get it through this message. Ponder about it, pray about it, find out who this God is. Only when you understand Him like that, you're able to worship Him right. In the past, a country that had a king, the king was the only authority in the land. He could change laws and he can punish whoever he wants. Of course, many kings, they misuse their authority. But today, the worldwide everyone wants democracy, even in the church. God is not a democratic God. He's the authority. Even though there are some good points about democracy, there is also a lot of danger. In a democracy, people can tell whatever they want, and the majority has a say. The majority is one side, you have to do what they say. With different political parties, every one of them can manipulate people to vote for them, and they can change the laws of the country. Supreme laws are no longer valid, since everyone can say and believe whatever they want. Therefore, some people say, nobody has to tell me what to do. I know myself what is good for me. I don't need God or church or Bible. What does all that have to do with loving the world? You cannot love God as supreme God and at the same time do what he, what the work, what the world does. In John 14, verse 30, it says, "I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me." Jesus called Satan the prince of the world. Somewhere it says also that he is a prince of the power of the air. Praise God. When God created the world, it was perfect, something to love. When Eve and Adam obeyed the devil and sinned, imperfection came. God had given Adam the title Prince of the World. He got that title from God. Legally, Adam was the prince, and he could give it to anyone he wanted. By obeying Satan rather than God, he gave his right to Satan. Therefore, Satan is legally the prince of the world. He caused sickness, he caused chaos, he caused every kind of evil. Adam had initially two sons, Cain and Abel. We know the story. Cain became the father of murderers, of robbers, of pleasure-seeking people. When the angel came down and fell in love with women and had offspring with them, they were of the line of Cain. Abel was righteous, and he was killed by Cain. In his replacement, Seth was born. This line of humanity brought many godly people. Enoch was of this line, and he was taken by God. Noah was of this line, and he became our ancestor. Cain's spirit continues to live ever after the flood. Why? Because Cain, his spirit, was the spirit of Satan. Throughout humanity, he always caused evil. He is a prince of the world. So how can you love the world? How can you love the world if the prince is Satan? If you love the world and money and pleasures, you actually worship the devil and not God. That's why God said, "You cannot love God and the world. Either you love the one and hate the other." The way of God leads to glory. The way of the world leads to destruction. James chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes the enemy of God." And then in Matthew 6:24, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money, or mammon, or the world," whatever the translation may say. "You yourself have the right to choose your own master. You can choose whom you want to follow." There are those who say, "I don't need a master," yet they do have one. Nobody can be without master. Either it is God or Satan. There's no middle way. King Solomon was the wisest and richest king that had ever lived. During his reign, the kingdom had the largest expansion like never before. He was so wise and so foolish. He loved women and he loved sex. He married women who led him astray. 1 Kings 11, verse 2. They were from nations, these women were from nations, about which the Lord had told the Israelites, you must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your heart after their gods. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. Look at this. Solomon held fast to them in love. The Lord became angry with Solomon, verse 9. The Lord became angry with Solomon because he heard his heart was turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. You know, this verse is something that really is applicable today. God speaks, but the Christians say, I do whatever I want. I'm not talking about non-believers. I'm talking about believers. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. This is exactly the world's behavior. God says something, yet they do what they want. They don't care what God demands. How terrible it is to experience the anger of God. Those are they who love, whose love is for the world. But we do not belong to the world. We are not of the line of Cain. We are of the line of Seth. We have been born again, not as humans. We are born again from above. We became children of God when we were born again. We became children of the Almighty God. So we are not of this world, we are from above. Jesus said in John 15, verse 19, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to this world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Out of the world. That is why the world hates you. God has chosen us out of the world. We are not in this world anymore. Can anyone say, I know myself what is good for me? Can you say that? He has chosen you. Therefore, you cannot go your own way anymore. No believer can go his own way. And if you do, you're on the wrong path. Ephesians 1:4, it says, For he chose us in him, Ephesians 1:4, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. What did he call us to? Can you say you're holy, your life is holy and blameless? That is what he has chosen you for. He has chosen you long before. Before the creation of the world, we are to be holy and blameless in his sight. People, you cannot just do what you want. You can't. Because there is either you do what the Lord says or you go the way of the devil. There is no middle way. A little bit of God, a little bit of Satan, a little bit of God, a little bit of world, That is the function. We are to be holy and blameless in His sight. This is not possible in a polluted world. But God, in His mercy, chose us to be holy before Him. When we were born again, we became children of God. It says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world doesn't know us is that they don't know Him. There is no religion in all the world, never has been, never will be, where a person can become a child of God. In His great love, He reached out His hand and made us His children. In James chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in their eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom of He promised for to those who love Him? He promised us a kingdom because we love Him." So it's important to love Him. "The prince of this world promises us a kingdom also, but he is a liar. He's a liar. He's fake. What he promised, he cannot keep. How different is our Lord? He keeps his word all the time." It says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." Through him, not through material. Believers are to love God and to love one another. There is no exception, dear brothers, dear sisters. You cannot just hate somebody and be and love God at the same time. This is not possible. Believers are to love God and one another, not the world and its possessions. The term world is not reference to the planet or even at all the material things. In this context, the term world is a reference to the fallen, man-centered system of the way of the world. Someone who loves the way this world, if somebody loves the way that this world operates, including the control by sin, is a person who cannot also focus on the Father's will at the same time. It's either or. John emphasized the theme by saying that those who love the world in that sense cannot really love God. These are strong words. They highlight the contrast between the love of the world and the love of the Father. Jesus offered an example of the contrast when he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. Satan told Jesus, "I give you everything in the whole world, whatever you want, you can have, if only you bow down and worship me." And Jesus said, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." It's very important words. Begone, Satan. Begone, Satan. Say, begone, Satan, when the temptation comes. Jesus, John 2, 15 to 17 is a warning from John about the Christian attitude. other portions of this chapter discuss how the behavior provides evidence of fellowship with God. Here John explains that thoughts and desires have to be mastered. You have to master it. You cannot just, whatever comes, you cannot just do it. Since these are temptations, it is possible for a true Christian to stumble into them. Loving the world is defined here as a physical lust in one's thoughts and arrogant pride. There's a lot of pride. There's a lot of pride today. I have no time for the church. I have no time for the church. I have no time to read the Bible. I have no time to pray. I have too much work. I cannot participate. But these are fake excuses. Fake excuses. Every one of us has 24 hours a day. If you love God and not the world, you give him 10% of your time. This means money, but also it means time. You have 24 hours a day or 168 hours in a week. You sleep 7 days, 8 hours each, that's 56, and at least 112 hours. If you spend time with prayer, Bible reading, attending the church, attending prayer meetings, you easily get these 112 hours. Remember that he chose you before the creation of the world. He chose you. You're not your own. He has chosen you. He chose you to be holy and blameless before him. You're not your own. You were bought at a price of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Since you were born into his kingdom, you were chosen to live a life that pleases him. Whatever pleases others is not our concern. They have to give an account on the day of the Lord. But we go forward steadily and sturdily. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm.